Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. What I will tell you today is both reality and metaphor. Our world is in danger from cosmic catastrophe, and we need better minds and better men to save ourselves. And one cosmic catastrophe is already here. The Earth is regularly struck by objects from space. Some of these objects are large enough to cause massive destruction, dwarfing that of even a full-scale nuclear war. A few of these events have come agonizingly close to wiping out all life on Earth, and did in fact cause the extinction of thousands of species, including the dominant life forms of those times. I mention these facts only to give you a single example of why creative intelligence, the kind of intelligence possessed in the highest degree by European man, and the kind of intelligence we are breeding out of ourselves by importing and mixing with more primitive races, is of such absolutely vital importance. As recently as 1908, an object from space impacted our world. It exploded over Russian Siberia, coming ominously close to striking the Earth. Even exploding in the air as it did, it flattened 1,200 square miles of forest, with huge old-growth trees, 60 million of them, broken off instantly like matchsticks. Near the center, trees and animals were vaporized or instantly incinerated. This event, called the Tunguska event, is believed to have been caused by a very small asteroid, thought to be a mere 60 yards across. It exploded 3 to 4 miles in the air. The fireball did more than flatten trees. Even though the area was sparsely populated, it damaged buildings and smashed people to the ground hundreds of miles away. Even 300 miles from the center of the event, witnesses reported hearing deafening bangs and seeing a huge fiery cloud. Some witnesses described, quote, a column of bluish light nearly as bright as the sun, close quote. Dust from the event brightened the night sky in London, England, for 48 hours, with enough light to read by, according to some accounts. The New York Times of July 3, 1908, reported remarkable lights being, quote, observed in the northern heavens on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, close quote. The asteroid's impact with the Earth's atmosphere alone created a superheated wind that destroyed everything in its path. Now imagine if the Tunguska event had happened over New York City or Paris instead of Siberia. Nikolai Vasilyev of the Russian Academy of Sciences has said that, quote, had such a cosmic body exploded over Europe instead of the desolate region of Siberia, the number of human victims would have been 500,000 or more, not to mention the ensuing ecological catastrophe. Several years ago, an asteroid of probably several hundred yards diameter passed the Earth at a distance of only 700,000 kilometers. On an astronomical scale, that is very close. The Tunguska episode marks the only event in the history of civilized man when Earth has collided with a truly large celestial object, although innumerable such collisions have occurred in the geological past, and many more are bound to occur. Close quote. Imagine if the asteroid had been 60 miles across instead of 60 yards. 3 million times the mass of the Tunguska asteroid. Imagine if it had been made of slightly more durable material and had actually struck the Earth. But we really don't need to imagine these or even more extreme scenarios. They have actually happened, as recent scientific studies have shown, in frightening detail. It's only in the last 15 years or so that scientists have known that a massive Earth impact from space, probably an asteroid, occurred 65 million years ago, causing the extinction of the dinosaurs and the rise of mammals, which eventually led to human life. Scientists have discovered a huge crater in Mexico, which confirms what was once only a tenuous theory. And to clinch it, they've found heavy concentrations of iridium, an asteroid signature, in soil layers dated to that time at sites all over the globe. Exactly what one would expect from such a huge blast, which would result in a world-circling cloud of ejected material that would persist for many years, changing the climate to a years-long winter and forever changing the course of life on this planet. The Chicxulub crater, as it is called, in the Yucatan Peninsula, was caused by an asteroid estimated to have been 6 miles across. And recently it was announced that a much larger crater has been confirmed in Wilkes Land, in Antarctica, a crater some 300 miles across, the size of Ohio, which evidently was responsible for an earlier die-off, the Permian-Triassic extinction of 251 million years ago, when almost all animal life on Earth was wiped out. The greatest mass extinction in history. The object which made the Wilkes Land crater is believed to have been some 30 miles across. There are some 500,000 asteroids with diameters in excess of 1 kilometer, and they are constantly colliding with one another and being sent off into erratic orbits. According to the B612 Foundation, a group of researchers and scientists, which includes former astronaut Russell Schweikert as its chairman, Earth is swimming in a virtual swarm of near-Earth objects, or NEOs, any one of which could trigger devastation to Earth in the event of an impact. The goal of the foundation is to develop the means to deflect asteroids into new, non-collision courses. Schweikert tells us that there are several givens. Quote, 1. Earth is infrequently hit by asteroids that cross our orbit while circling the Sun. 2. The consequences of such impacts range from the equivalent of a 15-megaton explosion to a civilization-ending gigaton event. And 3. For the first time in the history of humankind, we have the technology to prevent such occurrences from happening in the future, if we are properly prepared, close quote. Now, I am not trying to be sensationalistic here and convince you that a major impact will happen tomorrow. No one knows when the next such disaster will strike, and no one knows what its size may be. But I am trying to make an important point. According to Dr. Christopher Chiba of Princeton University and science writer Robert Britt, Earth's biosphere is, quote, likely regularly disrupted every 100 million years or so by giant impacts that would render human life impossible, close quote. Chiba added at a news conference at NASA headquarters, quote, a biosphere only has a certain amount of time to develop a technical intelligence which is capable of realizing that there is an impact hazard, cataloging that hazard, and avoiding the next impact, close quote. Bottom line, according to Britt, quote, only a civilization smart enough to spot the hazard and mitigate it can survive, close quote. And Earth impacts are just one threat. There are many other scenarios which would potentially leave the Earth unlivable. Shouldn't we have a backup plan for that possibility, so our genes will survive, even if Earth does not? Interstellar space travel may one day be our only option. According to Jeffrey A. Landis of NASA's Glenn Research Center, quote, the Earth itself is not entirely a safe place. It would be a good thing for our survival if we lived on more than one planet, close quote. Only the intelligence that brought us understanding of our place in the universe can save us when zero hour comes. And I am not just talking about impacts from space. pandemics, nanotechnology warfare launched by an enemy, climate change and other environmental disasters, and 1,000 other potential threats loom in the unknown future. Only the intelligence that brought us European science can even detect the presence of such threats before it is too late, to say nothing of fighting them. The creative intelligence that characterizes our race above all others is very likely indispensable for finding solutions to these kinds of disasters, disasters that would forever wipe out lesser creatures. But the intelligence and creativity that characterize European man are themselves under threat. The superstition promoted by Jewish supremacists of racial equality is leading the nations of the West to literally exterminate themselves through replacement of their founding race with the teeming masses of the Third World, whose response to a cosmic threat would be a shrug of the shoulders while they concentrate on debauchery, fornication, and mindless violence below the animal level, many of whom would attribute the disaster to evil spirits and attempt to mitigate it with voodoo chants or Santeria sacrifices for the brief remainder of their miserable lives. And the peoples of the West themselves, with failing educational institutions and with religions under the thumb of Jewish supremacists and Jewish myths, are increasingly losing their grip on scientific knowledge and on reality itself as they descend to an understanding of the world thousands of years behind the times. Increasingly, instead of seeing the world as it is seen by the best minds of our civilization, our people see it through the lens of a school system that fails to teach them how to find France and Russia on a map, but does teach them about the roots of hip-hop and white racism. Or they see it through the lens of so-called scripture, the writings of primitive and malicious Semitic desert nomads whose knowledge of the universe was essentially zero. We're dumbing ourselves down with a dysfunctional school system and superstitions which militate against rational thought. And we're dumbing ourselves down biologically, too, through some of the most tragic results of these superstitions: open borders and racial mixing. We import and mix with tens of millions of mestizos from Central America, with an average IQ of around 80 and almost no geniuses. And we import and mix with Africans with average IQs in the 60s and 70s, the retarded range by our standards, and almost no people who are even moderately bright. And so much of our national wealth and energy and effort is soaked up by dealing with the terrible, horrible social costs of having these primitives among us. Wasted wealth and energy and effort and time that one day may make the difference between life and death for us. Look at how we are allocating our resources. The B612 Foundation gets no government money. The biggest spender on the study of potential Earth impact objects is NASA, and they spend only $4 million on it in a year. Less than 1/50th of the amount spent on the wars for Israel in the Middle East in a single day. The total number of people monitoring near-Earth objects, most of them amateurs, is, according to astronomer David Morrison of NASA's Ames Research Center, equivalent to one or two shifts of employees in a single McDonald's restaurant. Compare this with the huge and growing infrastructure devoted to making sure that our rapidly multiplying underclass is housed and fed and entertained. Compare it with the huge amount of national wealth and the very lives of intelligent, creative white men and women which are being thrown away every day, making the Middle East safe for Israel. I told you earlier that my message today is both reality and metaphor. Our world is in danger from cosmic catastrophe, and we need better minds and better men to protect ourselves. All true. But we are experiencing a catastrophe of cosmic proportions right here, right now. A parasitic subspecies of man, which resembles us in externals, but possessing a unique and alien mentality, has captured and replaced our race's leadership and taken over our means of communication. It has implanted memes in our culture and in our minds that are disrupting our reproductive behavior and causing us to commit racial suicide, and which are also causing us to serve and feed and fight for the parasite instead of ourselves. As I said, I mentioned the subject of inevitable spaceborne catastrophe as but a single example of the challenges we will face that will require the best minds that our race can produce for their solution. The next challenge may be different. A new virus 10 times more tenacious and deadly than AIDS. A super hurricane that makes Katrina look like an April shower. A doomsday weapon developed by China or Israel that holds all civilization hostage. A sudden change in the Gulf Stream, triggering catastrophic climate change with no comet or asteroid needed. Who knows what may come? The issue which screams for our attention is not only are we going to be ready when disaster strikes, but also what are we doing to ourselves? How are we ourselves changing? And do those changes militate for our survival or against it when zero hour comes? When that hour comes, will we as a race and as a civilization stand poised with our best minds in control of an advanced technology able to literally change the fate of star systems so that our genetic patterns will live on and advance forever, whatever the cosmic challenge? Or will we be mired in the genes of the jungle, ruled, despite the presence of a few high IQ whites, by the needs and desires of the primitives among us, and stand helpless, holding our TV remotes, our fast food wrappers, and our holy books, unable to do anything to alter the onrushing death of our world? The choice is ours, ladies and gentlemen. The choice is ours. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the Reconstituted National Alliance Membership Organization, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.